Welcome to How Games Make Money. I'm your host, Jeff Grubb from GamesBeat.com. This is the show where I talk to people working in and around games, and I ask him this question. How does this business work? Is it all just streaming games to a browser to bypass Apple's App Store monopoly? New episodes come out when I finish them when they're ready. I've got another one coming up pretty soon, though. On this episode, I talked to Rainway Chief Executive Officer Andrew Sampson about his company's cloud streaming tech. Rainway announced today, as I'm recording this part, that it is partnering with Microsoft to power xCloud's streaming solution through browsers. Sampson and his team already enabled consumers to stream games from a PC, but now they are bringing a similar and seamless solution to Xbox. We'll talk about all that and more during our conversation. First, though, thank you for listening. You can get more from me at GameSpeed.com. Email me at jeff.grubb@gmail.com. If it's about the podcast, put How Games Make Money in the subject line. You can also reach out to me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Grubb. The podcast is at HGMM Show. Support the show by going to patreon.com/Jeff Grubb. If you do that, if you join up, it helps support the show, but you can also get some access to some secret channels in my Discord. The link to the Patreon and to the Discord server are in the description below. Thank you for making this possible, everybody on the Patreon. I really appreciate it. Hang out in the podcast producers channel, and we'll talk about more about what I should do in the future on this show. Okay, that's enough of this. Let's get to the show. Let's go talk to Andrew Sampson right now about Rainway and Xbox cloud streaming. Andrew, I guess what I read through the materials you all sent over, and I guess the first thing that struck me was it seems like this was. It seems like gaming was an opportunity sort of waiting for Rainway. Like there was a lot of hurdles facing gaming when it comes to trying to distribute streaming games on multiple platforms. And it seemed like Rainway was a ready-made solution. Is that the right takeaway from what I saw, or was it a lot more work than all that?
I mean, when we started Rainway, we initially were building a company focused on remote administration, but we saw that everyone was using our product to play video games at work through their web browser. So we said to ourselves, all right, how do we take this tech and refine it and optimize it and turn it into something that people can use to take their entire Steam library or Epic library and have sort of a personal Netflix for games? We spent the last 4 years building that, and it's been an incredible experience creating probably one of the most seamless game streaming apps that's out there, right? Because you can just pick up your iPhone, scan a code from your desktop, and all your games just appear. You tap and you start playing. So bringing that experience to end users has been really enlightening.
Yeah, I guess, one thing I always think about is the gaming audience is very specific, particular, and loud and demanding. And when a company goes from taking a product that is maybe meant for businesses or meant for a more broad audience, and then they have to deal with the gaming audience, it sort of hones that product. Is that something that you feel like you are experiencing?
Yeah, in those early days, I mean, because gaming is at my core, right? I learned how to be a developer because I was hacking RuneScape back all the way back in like 2006, 2007. So like gaming has always been within my blood. And so when we started taking the pivot to move to focus on gaming back in 2017, we optimized and streamlined our product quite a bit because all the things that we had built for the enterprise, those are just things that weren't needed for a gaming consumer focused product. And so I would say that the move from our last company into Rainway has created probably one of the best products I've ever had the pleasure of working on, because like we took this idea that gaming should be frictionless, right? We want people to be able to press a button and play a game. And how can we take this really hard to build technology and then sort of wrap it up in a nice bow where we're also building a great user experience and product around it? Because that's probably the most important piece outside of the tech is like, how can you make real-time, low-latency streaming just sort of work for end users? You don't want them to have to know what IP addresses are, what ports are. You don't want them to have to like go into their router. You just want them to open up their phone and start playing a game.
Is it seamless? Is it going to feel like I'm using an Xbox just like normal? Is there an extra sign-in? What's that like?
Yeah, so we really focused on trying to make things as passive as possible. So, for example, we created a really robust game scanning framework so that when you install Rainway on your PC, for example, it will just pull in all the games that you have installed and that you own. You can even link and download games directly from Steam through the Rainway interface, so you don't have to leave that interface. So if you're, say, on an Apple TV and you want to, you know, start downloading Red Dead Redemption 2 and you don't want to leave the couch, you can do all of that through Rainway. And it uses your existing content library to power that experience. And we sort of just built all of these really fine-tuned integrations on top of existing platforms and services, and then packaged them all up into that sort of seamless user experience. So, no, there's no extra sign-in. Once you link your Rainway account to your device, you're pretty much good to go after that point.
Does it introduce extra latency? If it does, how much? Is it something that you guys really focused on?
Yeah, so what we did with Microsoft is we looked at the technology that we had created for our consumer gaming service, and we worked together to take all the best pieces that we had invented internally at our company, and we worked with their team to integrate it into the sort of xCloud native stack. And it's incredibly impressive what Microsoft has managed to build, especially around sort of the virtualization of like Xboxes alone. But getting our technology integrated into that was actually a pretty painless experience. It took us 3 months to go from sort of the ideation phase to actually having the prototypes up and running.
Did you approach Microsoft when you saw that they were like, when companies like that were having problems getting their stuff running on the App Store?
So Microsoft actually reached out to us. There's a really fun story. They were calling us Project Sunbeam because I think it was one person at Microsoft needed to spin up a demo. They wanted to show like game streaming in Africa from Azure, but they didn't really have the deployment in Africa at the time. So one of their engineers just installed Rainway on an Azure VM. And then like, I think it was like Phil or another person at Microsoft demoed it, basically using Rainway, showing the power of Azure. And then they went, wait a minute, like this wasn't our stuff. Like we need to reach out to this company and like figure out how to work with them. And so they reached out to us early March of last year, and we've had a really great working relationship ever since.
And I guess, specifically, what were some of the biggest challenges that you've faced so far that you've overcome? And what are some of the bigger remaining challenges that you're still working on?
Yeah, the biggest challenge from our company's perspective was how do we sort of leverage the opportunity that we've been given? Most startups are lucky to ever sort of be able to play on a scale this large ever, right? And so having a company like Microsoft come and validate our technology as being the best in the space and saying like, hey, we want to take a bet on you and use this for our platform. That was just, you know, sort of a wholesome moment. But then we started getting more and more companies coming to us and saying the exact same thing, right? We had companies like Intel showing us deep diligence they did, showing that, you know, when they compared our technology to stuff they had built internally compared to everything that was publicly available, that we came in number one in almost every category. And so we made the conscious decision at that point to go, there is a much bigger opportunity outside of just gaming and just trying to build a consumer gaming service. There's a much bigger opportunity if we can make our technology available to companies big and small so that they can build the next generation of like desktop software, whether it's for entertainment, something like xCloud, whether it's for collaborative like work in sort of a now post-COVID world. We want people to be able to use our technology to change the way that they collaborate, to change the way that how productive they are, how they develop desktop software, and all the things that we can unlock by removing the barrier of needing the device the software is running on to also be powerful and just streaming things from the cloud. Sort of like the sky's the limit at that point.
And you talk about, Intel coming back and saying, oh, you know, in the benchmarks, you guys were number one in a lot of categories. What are some of those categories? Is it, you know, video quality? Is it latency? Are there other things I'm not thinking of?
Yeah, yeah. Bandwidth usage is really important, right? Yeah. Like we need to make sure that we're not consuming more bandwidth than a YouTube video. That's sort of our benchmark internally. And so we want people, I think YouTube's benchmark for like needing to be able to stream 1080p at 60 FPS is somewhere around like 7 megabits per second.
Right.
Rainway's requirement is 4.5. So that's just like how tightly we're compressing data. Resource usage is also a really important one for something like xCloud and Game Pass streaming. Like they're running on, you know, virtualized Xboxes, and so they have very tight resource constraints, and we can't be hogging a bunch of CPU time. And so Rainway's media pipeline is built from the ground up, it sort of, you know, with bare metal in mind. So when we're running our stuff on either a user's computer or some server remote in the cloud, we're barely touching the resources on that machine, and that allows for a more cost-effective scaling of our technology across multiple regions. And that's really something that large enterprise customers just love about us. And then one of the more important things is just like, what is the end-to-end latency like? And we have built a pipeline, sort of an end-to-end solution where we can stream data. This is way back in, what was it? GDC was the last GDC I actually could go to. GDC in 2019. We did a demo. This is around when Stadia was like making their announcement as well. We were sitting in the Marriott hotel's like lobby, and we were just on their Wi-Fi, and we were streaming game demos from AWS in California to that hotel Wi-Fi to the lobby, and we were getting around 30 milliseconds of latency. And so I think Stadia's demo at the time was showing around 140 to up to 200 milliseconds of latency. And here we are coming in basically with like frame and a half of delay, which is, you know, most people are never going to notice that. So our end-to-end streaming solution is just the fastest there is.
I mean, I asked about this earlier, but it's fascinating to me. You think about, Discord is a service that proves itself by, you know, being for gamers first. And then once you prove you can work with gamers, everyone sort of wants to use it. Twitch, same thing. Twitch proved it was really good for gaming. And now it's huge for everything, every kind of streaming. And it seems like if you could prove that you work with gaming, if you make it in gaming, you can make it anywhere, that, you know, that New York standing. It just sounds like all the problems you have to solve for gaming are just going to pay dividends in every other category. And this is what you're seeing.
Yeah, 100%. When you have to solve for, you know, you can't buffer for when you're streaming a game. If you buffer, you die.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, you have to account for all of these things, and you need input to feel like it's native too, right? Like, there's small details that people don't even realize that you're subconsciously sort of thinking about when you're doing game streaming. Like, a lot of solutions will basically stream the actual mouse cursor from the remote server, which you can now see and feel physical delay when you're doing that, especially when you're playing something like a point and click game. And so that's why we invented what we call predictive input rendering, where on the client side, when you move your mouse, we just sort of use our some math to guess where that mouse is going to go. And then we can just draw the cursor on the client side entirely. And then it feels like you're just moving your mouse natively on your desktop. And it's all of these little, for us, we like to say, it's not the like one or two like things that we did really, really well. It's the thousand little things that we did really, really well. That's what makes Rainway such a good solution.
Walk me through like exactly the process. So what is that process going to be like when I go to use Rainway to play games? Is it stuff where I'm going to have to like worry about, like, you know, when I use like a virtual desktop or a remote desktop, and the, you know, the alt tab works sometimes, or sometimes the alt tab will take me out of the remote desktop app and take me back to, you know, some other window. Are these the sort of problems that people are going to face, or did you really just make it feel like you were using the system?
Yeah, so for what we built with our consumer gaming service, once you install it, I mean, really, it's sign up for an account, which, by the way, you don't even have to like check an email or verify a link. You type in the email you want, type in your password. The next thing you will see is your games on your local PC. You can choose to link any additional accounts you have, like Steam at that point. But then if you want to, you can just hold your phone up to your sort of what we call it, the Rainway dashboard. Your games will appear automatically on your phone. Or you can go over to play.rainway.com and you can start playing immediately from inside of your browser on a different machine. We want everything to be sort of instantaneous. And for our customers, on sort of our enterprise model for what we now call app services, that's the same experience they're going to be able to deliver to their end users, right? We don't even want people to have to know sort of like the underlying details of like UDP or all this complex networking stuff when they integrate our technology. Just as we made our consumer experience plug and play, that is the same thing that we did with our SDK that we're now licensing to our customers. If you want to build a real-time streaming application that you can access immediately from the web, say you want to build your own cloud gaming service, we can't give you the games, but with our tech, you can get up and running in about 10 lines of code.
So, I mean, and there you kind of answered a question before I asked it, but, you know, licensing this to your partners, is that the business model? Yeah, you don't have to get into specifics or break any contracts or telling me the numbers, but just kind of maybe in a general way, explain how the business works.
Yeah, so on the business side, we are focusing really heavily on Runway App Services. We want to build a developer platform that allows people to build this sort of the future of desktop software using our streaming technology. And like I mentioned, whether it's a game streaming service or whether it's like workplace collaboration tools, we want to make it easy to build these sort of that we see is the obvious evolution in computing. When you look at things like Figma, right? Figma's sort of replaced Photoshop. It's now like the multiplayer tool for collaborative like design editing. It's sort of on web. Well, you can't really get that same experience today if you want to do something like Blender, right? Where if you're a game studio and you need to collaborate on a 3D model, or you need just someone to review it, or you like, right? We want to be able to provide people with that same native experience of having your manager standing over your shoulder or having your teammates that you can sort of call over to have look at things. Like, we want people to be able to build those sort of collaboration tools using our technology. And we also want to provide services to companies that are sort of more fully managed, right? So there's going to be two tiers of developers that we target for app services. There's going to be your companies that, you know, want to take our technology, they want to go build an amazing new type of product. And those are, you know, that's like Microsoft, and we're supporting them in their endeavors to do that. And then there's the second tier, which is you're going to have your game studios, right, for example, who are struggling now today to do any sort of quality assurance with their games, right? I'm hearing horror stories about people having to like every weekend drive to the office, get the rig, take it back to their house, do their QA, take it back to the like the game studio. You know, Jeff Keighley, we were chatting with him a bit about this, was just saying that he thinks that we're going to see less games come out this year just due to the severity of QA being lackluster. Well, one of the things that we're going to offer through app services is that a game studio will be able to push builds of their game to our infrastructure, again, like just with a couple lines of code, and then they can deploy that game immediately to QA testers securely just through a web URL, and then people can access and play those games and play test those games all just through a web browser. And we provide actual tools that can help augment the work that workflow, right? So you'll be able to see every input that they did. They'll be able to report bugs that occurred at a certain timestamp. You'll be able to jump as like a QA manager to the exact moment like an issue occurred and replay it like from start to finish, right? And like, we're now not just, you know, giving people the means to create amazing tools, but we're creating some of those amazing tools ourselves so that we can get people back to work.
You touched on, you know, the mandatory, you know, how is the pandemic affecting people? I guess, you know, just on the other side of that, how has it affected you and your team? Has Runway helped with that as well?
We use Runway a lot for our own like personal development. It, you know, we have some engineers that, you know, they don't have good PCs at home, so we'll literally just spin up a supercomputer on like AWS and like they'll use Runway to like program off of that, right? It's like super easy. And you know, it was a good year for gaming, but I would say like while COVID was incredibly difficult initially, I was able to sort of, with the help of my team, get us all through it. And we had all these amazing opportunities land at our door because as, you know, COVID sort of hammered the world, one thing it did show is that there was a limitation to the way that we were doing things, and sort of remote streaming is now unlocking a new door to solve some of these problems, and we can now usher that in.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and it just, you know, things are gonna have to change, right? And a lot of people are just not gonna, like, even things start getting back to normal, people are gonna realize that this is always gonna be a potential problem. So just solving these problems long term seems like a really important thing to do. And you feel like you're what you guys are doing, your company is kind of central to that for a certain way of doing business, certain way of creating content?
I think for us, like our core mission has sort of shifted from, you know, we want to give people the freedom to play their games anywhere. And like, you know, that's still always going to be a part of our early culture and identity. But now it really has become, we want to empower people to access their software, any type of software, and build the types of experiences that are going to allow people to be more productive. Right. I think about the thing that sort of like gets me up in the morning is that I think about the children last year that basically lost an entire year worth of education, and how the public school system here in America is just really not set up to handle this sort of thing, right? Like, there are tons of kids that have assignments that require a computer and they don't even have a computer. And so now schools have to issue Chromebooks, and those Chromebooks can't run anything of actual value, right? So how do we get actual software onto those Chromebooks so that those kids can access the same software that their peers in, you know, more affluent areas can? And, you know, the technology that we build can hopefully sort of be a gateway to allowing companies like Adobe to be able to make the entirety of Adobe Creative Cloud available via streaming, so it actually is in the cloud, and then people on Chromebooks can access it, and now an entire generation of kids doesn't go without the necessary suite of tools they need to continue their process of learning. When I was 14, I spent all of the money that I had to buy an Xbox 360. And like 2 weeks later, it got stolen. I was devastated. It was like, never. I was like, oh, well, like how, like, just like, what is my luck? But here I am now 25. And I'm like, my tech is going to be the thing powering one of the most like biggest endeavors for Microsoft and for their Xbox gaming platform. And that just feels amazing, like on a personal level. So I'm just going to brag there.
Yeah, absolutely. Myself. Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's, you know, the way they do talk about it, the way Microsoft talks about this stuff, it, you know, they really do think this is their future. They think it's the future of gaming. They talk about the 2 billion gamers out there. And you know, you could tell that they're investing in this because they see that potential. And so, yeah, I would imagine to be a part of that feels special.
Yeah. To help make Xbox the most recognizable gaming brand, that is something I didn't expect to be doing, but I love doing it. The everyone over there is amazing.
Excellent. Yeah. I got a Wii at launch, and then mine got stolen a few months later. Right. We're like, yeah. And I never finished that Zelda game that I was playing at the launch there. So, I know how you feel. All right. Yeah. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you everybody out there for listening. Until next time, take care of yourself. Have a good one. Goodbye.